السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله يوفقك أيامك.
السلام عليكم.
آمين إياكم. طيب يا مكلالي.
نعم يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده
نعم.
ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our reading of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail rahimahullah, we are on the chapter Babu Husn Al-Khulq Iza Faqahu. Babu Husn Al-Khulq Iza Faqahu, the chapter about Husn Al-Khulq, nice character, nice behavior. إذا فقه, when the person becomes a learned person. That means if the Muslim struggles to be a nice person in his character, as from amongst the rank and file of the Muslims, he struggles with his character to be nice. The one who is blessed with knowledge in Islam, the one who has learned Islam well and is from among the people of knowledge, or is upon their path to become from among the people of knowledge, such a person has a greater duty upon himself to be sure that his character is good. The one who is learned has a greater duty to be sure that his character is good, because from the blessings of knowledge is tahdhibul akhlaq. From the blessings of knowledge is that it purifies, it cleanses up the person's character. Allah guides him with the knowledge that he has blessed him with, to understand what is right and stick to it, to understand what is wrong and abstain from it. So when the person becomes from amongst the people of knowledge, he knows the Quran, he knows the Hadith, he knows the Athar of the Companions, radiallahu anhum, he knows the Ahkam of the Sharia, he knows the rulings of the Sharia. All of these will make him understand that putting right in its place and putting wrong in its place, from that is making sure that our khuluq or our akhlaq are no less than nice, are no less than noble and honorable. The last set of ahadith we read the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, when he said, radiallahu anhuma, that su'ila an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ayyul adiyani ahabbu ila Allah. The messenger alayhi salatu wa salam was asked, which aspect, what form of our deen is most beloving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he said that is al-hanifiyyatu samha. He said that is al-hanifiyyatu samha. The most desirable aspect of our deen is al-hanifiyya samha. Al-hanifiyya, we'd explained in the last class, that the word itself, al-hanif, is picked from مَيْلُ الْإِنسَانِ عَنِ الْبَاطِلِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ, the person's inclinations towards goodness and away from evil. When a person turns away from evil, he turns away from shirk to tawheed, he turns away from kufr to iman, he turns away from jahiliyyah to Islam, he turns away from every negative attitude to the positive traits that Islam has taught. This is the meaning of hanifiyya. So when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah describes him as Hanif, what it means is that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, despite the widespread of kufr in his time, despite the widespread of shirk in his time, up and on to his parents, the parents of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam were upon disbelief and shirk. And the day that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was to be burnt and thrown in the fire, his mother and his father were also support of that move by the non-Muslims, the kuffar, the mushrikun, to burn Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam alive. Yet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam did not give up to shirk. He gave his inclinations towards tawheed. He did not give up to kufr. He rather gave his inclination and devotion to al-iman. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, because he turned away from evil and he stuck to goodness, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam became Hanif. So the aspect of our deen that is most beloved to Allah is to completely turn away from evil and stick to doing good and keeping to goodness. And this is the essence. You will find this essence, this major point, in many verses of the Quran. Did not Allah say to us that, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dukhulu fi silmi kaffa, O you who believe, turn into Islam, submit in Islam, udkhulu, come into Islam, fi silmi kaffatan, come into it completely, wa la tattabi'u khutwati shaytan, do not follow the pathways of ash-shaytan. This is also from the meaning of completely turning away from evil, completely turning away from batil, and turning towards and sticking to al-haqqu and al-iman and at-tawheed and good character and all of these. So al-hanifiyya, the attitude of really, really being a Muslim and not turning towards jahiliyyah. While you do that, being a Muslim as you should be, and being upon that upon ease. Being a Muslim upon ease, because Islam itself has come with ease. Islam itself can be described as ease. Ease in all its forms. Ease in its belief. Ease in its worship. Ease in its legislations. Ease in the character and the noble traits that he has encouraged us to be upon. Islam is all about ease. Turning away from evil and sticking to goodness upon ease. Turning away from evil. That would mean that the Muslim, truly the Muslim, who turns away from evil, who turns away from kufr, who turns away from shirk, he will not be a person who, in his outlook, the outlook is the outlook of a Muslim. He goes to the masjid and he observes the salah like a Muslim. He observes the fasting of Ramadan like the rest of the Muslims. He observes the Eid prayer like the rest of the Muslims. But in his thinking, in his belief, in his thoughts, and in his inner disposition, those inner dispositions are the inner dispositions of kufr. They are the inner dispositions of shirk. They are the inner dispositions of nifaq. And then at the time when the individual requires to stand firmly for Islam, you begin to smell and note these evil inclinations towards evil. This is not hanifiyya, because Allah said to us, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffatan, come into Islam completely, submit in Islam completely. So we should not be those who, yes, physically our submissions are for Islam, but our thought process, our belief, our inclinations, in fact, what we love and desire are the same things that are known with the people of kufr, that are known with the people of shirk, that are known with the people of Nifaq. Let us not forget in Surah Al-Kafirun, Allah says to us, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, say, all you disbelievers, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, I will not worship what you worship. This is a clear disconnection, declaration of disconnection from Batil, and declaration of support for Iman, declaration of support for Tawheed. So the meaning of a Hanif, that every Muslim should be, is the one who completely turns away from evil, it turns away from shirk, it turns away from kufr, it turns away from nifaq, and he sticks to Iman, he sticks to Tawheed, he sticks to Islam, away from Jahiliyyah and the thinking of the people of Jahiliyyah. Now, when this is done, it will be difficult for the Muslim to understand all of these if he does not learn his religion, al-Islam. One of the worst things that has happened to the Muslim today is that the Muslim bears the name of Islam, Abdul Razak, Abdul Fatah, Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, and all of that. But learning Islam and knowing truly what makes a Muslim and what takes a Muslim away from Islam, what is it that makes a person who declares for Islam becoming inclined towards kufur and shirk and jahiliyyah? The Muslim does not know. So in his claims, yes, he claims Islam, but in the reality, you see that this is the reality of a non-Muslim. So knowledge is so, so important, because it will help the Muslim understand who he is. It will help you know who you are. It will help you know what you mustn't do. It will help you understand the sway of the people of kufr and disbelief. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, Ayyul adyani ahabu ila Allah, which aspect of our deen is most beloved to Allah? And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam, al-hanifiyyatu samha, being upon al-hanifiyyatu, being upon sound Islam, being upon sound Islam, and being of ease in that. But this will be difficult if the person is far away from knowledge. May Allah protect each and every one of us. The other hadith we read was the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, when he mentioned radiyallahu anhu from a statement he had also heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi sallam, that arba'u khilalin idha utitahunna fala yaduruka ma'uzila anka min ad-dunya. That is hadith 288, that there are four things, if Allah blesses you with them, la yaduruka ma'uzila anka min ad-dunya, whatever might be taken away from you from the issues of the dunya does not matter. Meaning that if you stick to these four things, no matter what you miss from the things of this dunya, you have succeeded. The first of them is husnul khaliqa, to have a nice nature, to be good natured if you are good natured, and to have asafu tu'ma, to be a person who is choosy. He chooses what he puts in his mouth. He does not eat from the means of haram. He does not now also eat haram. When he finds halal itself, he is also moderate in it. Three things: holding back from unlawful ingestion of meals, not taking just any food that you find. The first one is that you are away from haram. You don't seek means of livelihood from haram. The second one is that if your means of livelihood is now halal, you don't purchase food that is haram with the livelihood of halal that Allah has provided you. The third thing is that, yes, you now have food from halal source. You also have halal food. You do not consume halal beyond the needs, so that it does not become a consumption of haram. So you eat halal, being moderate in that. The third one is Sidq Hadith, when a person is truthful in what he says. And the fourth one is Hifdu Amana, to be a person who preserves trust. If you have these four things, because each of these four things truly may make you lose a lot of money. Some people come to you for a deal that is unlawful in Islam. You can earn a million, 200 million, 500 million from it. And you are insisting that you don't want to partake. Why? Because that's an unlawful means of seeking livelihood. That may make you lose a lot of things from the issues of this dunya. And that's why Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said, radiallahu anhu, no matter what you lose, when you are upon sound nature, when you are a person who chooses what you eat, when you are a person who is honest and truthful, and you're a person who preserves trust, you have gained it all. You have gained it all. May Allah make us from the people of gain and benefits. So today, inshallah, we'll be reading from Hadith 289. And there al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abu Nu'aym, qala haddathana Dawood ibn Yazid, qala sami'tu Abi yaqul, sami'tu Aba Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, qal, sami'tu Aba Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, yaqul, qala al-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, tadruna ma aksaru ma yudkhilu al-Nar, qalu Allah wa rasuluhu a'lamu. قال الأجوفان الفرج والفم وأكثر ما يدخل الجنة تقوى الله وحسن الخلق. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله he reported a hadith that comes from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, who reported that the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام تدرون ما أكثر ما يدخل النار قالوا الله ورسوله أعلم قال الأجوفان الفرج والفم وأكثر ما يدخل النار وأكثر ما يدخل الجنة تقوى الله وحسن الخلق. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his Sheikh Abu Nu'aym, that is Al-Fadl ibn Dukain رحمه الله, one of the earliest persons from whom Al-Imam al-Bukhari had taken knowledge. He is Al-Fadl ibn Dukain, Abu Nu'aym, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathana Dawood ibn Yazid. Al-Fadl ibn Dukain reports this hadith from Dawood ibn Yazid, Abu Yazid al-Kufi, Dawood ibn Yazid. He is Abu Yazid al-Kufi. He said, Sami'tu Abi yaqul. Dawood ibn Yazid said, I heard my father saying, and his father is Yazid ibn Abdul Rahman al-Audi. The father of Dawood ibn Yazid is Yazid ibn Abdul Rahman al-Audi. So Yazid ibn Abdul Rahman al-Audi, the father of Dawood ibn Yazid, said, Sami'tu Aba Hurairah radiyallahu anhu yaqul, I heard Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu saying, Qala al-Nabiyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Tadruna ma aksaru ma yudkhilu an-nar. Do you know what mostly makes the people enter the fire? Do you know what mostly, what, yes, people will get into the fire on the day of Qiyamah for so many reasons. Some of the people will be put in Jahannam because of shirk. May Allah protect us. Some of the people will go into Jahannam because of kufr. Some of the people will be in Jahannam because of nifaq, the munafiqun. Allah mentioned in the Quran that they will be in the deepest part of the fire. So the people will go into Jahannam for so many reasons. So those things will take them to the fire. The people, some of the Muslims may even be burnt in the fire first. May Allah protect us all, because they were consuming riba. Some because of zina. some because of backbiting, and so on and so forth. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, for each of these things that may make a person to become from the people of the fire, which one is most common, especially for a person of iman, for a person who is free of kufr, for a person who is free of shirk, for a person who is free of nifaq, what mostly will bring the people to the fire was what the Prophet was asking them about. So he was asking his companions, radiallahu anhum, تَدْرُونَ مَا أَكْثَرُ مَا يُدْخِلُ النَّارِ. Do you know what will mostly bring the people into the fire? And this was one of the ways of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam when he taught his companions. Sometimes he will not just make a statement. He will ask them a question, hoping that alayhi salatu wasalam, that question will trigger the interest of the listeners. And teachers do that too. This is one of the major ways of teaching. That was why one of those who wrote about the manners of teaching, the methodology of teaching that could be derived from the life of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, one of them was that he would ask a question by way of trigger the interest of those who are listening to him. He would ask that question to trigger their interest. So here he asks them this question, alayhi salatu wasalam, تَدْرُونَ مَا أَكْثَرُ مَا يُدْخِلُ النَّارِ. Do you know what will mostly make the people come into the fire? So like the companions, radiallahu anhum, we know them as people who hasten towards goodness. So whenever they had a question like that, radiallahu anhum, they wanted to know what is the answer by way of sticking to those things that bi-iznillah will help them avoid the punishment of the fire. They want to learn what are those things that can bring them to the fire so that they can avoid it. Sometimes they will even go and meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask him about things that can bring them to trouble, as was common with Hubayf ibn al-Yaman. He says, مَخَافَةَ أَن يُدْرِكَنِي. The reason I ask you, Messenger of Allah, these questions about fitan, about trouble, about tribulations, is that I want to be a person who will avoid tribulations. So when the Prophet mentioned things like this that are so negative and that can destroy the individual as the Muslim, the companions were ready to listen. So when he asked them, تَدْرُونَ مَا أَكْثَرُ مَا يُدْخِلُ النَّارِ, do you know what will mostly bring many of the people to the fire? Radiallahu anhum, they said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and his messenger know best. This is from the aspect of the humility of the companions. So we are not going to suggest to feel that I think I should know. They say, no, Allah knows best. His messenger know best. Allah and his messenger know best. Allah knows best. The messenger knows best. We don't know. So they ascribe the knowledge to Allah and his messenger, waiting to hear a response from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, al-ajwafan, al-farju wal-famu. The things that mostly put the people in the fire, what will mostly bring the people into the fire, are what? Al-ajwafan, al-farju wal-famu. Al-ajwafan, yani things that have voids, things that have jawf. That's why our tummy is referred to as jawf, because it's like a hole. Whatever has a hole is mentioned to be what? Ajwaf. Whatever has a hole, the middle of it is open, like a bottle. It has a jawf. It has a void inside it, like a plate. You see, the middle of the plate has an opening, and so on and so forth. This is called jawf. And we know in basic surf too, we have some af'al that are referred to as ajwaf. Why? because they have a void at their middle, like Tara. They have an harful illa at the middle of it. They have a vowel word, a word, a letter. They have a letter that's almost like not a letter. Like if you have Tala, he is tall. You see, there is that harful illa. So that's why it's called Ajwa, because the middle of it is empty. It does not have the kind of a letter like Sa'un, neither does it have a letter like Lam. It has the mud or the harful illa, like we call it in basic surf. So whatever has an opening inside it is referred to as what Ajwaf. So here the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the things that will mostly lead the people to fire are Ajwafan. That is two things that have holes, two hollow things. And he mentioned them, alayhi salatu wasalam. The first one is Al-Farju. You see, it is hollow. So it is Ajwaf. Al-Farj, our organs, our private areas, easily many of the people get involved in evils connected to the private area, and that is what will lead them to Jahannam. May Allah protect us, especially in our times when people have become largely shameless. May Allah protect us. One of the major means for some of the people to get into the fire is through their private organs, through their private areas, because they get them involved in illicit relationship. May Allah protect us. The second one is al-famu, the tongue, the mouth. Al-famu, the mouth. You will see the mouth is also ajwaf, because you see inside it has a hole, like a void. So that's why it's also called ajwaf. And the two of them are referred to as what? Ajwafan. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these two hollow things, your private area and your mouth, are things that could easily, they mostly easily lead the people to the fire. The private area because of illicit intercourses and relationship, and the mouth because of evil speech. People slander the rest of the people. People backbite the rest of the people. People tell lies and use the tongue and the mouth for many other things that Allah has prohibited. Likewise, they consume, they place in this mouth food that is from unlawful source, or food that is from lawful source, but it's itself unlawful. Like a Muslim who uses money lawfully earned to buy pork or to buy other things that are not lawful to consume, like alcohol. So these are the two means, these two things, our private area and our mouths. These two things will mostly lead the people into Jahannam. May Allah protect us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on and said, وَأَكْثَرُ مَا يُدْخِلُ الْجَنَّةِ. He asked them about, do you know also those things that easily bring the people into Al-Jannah? What mostly brings the people into Al-Jannah, do you know? And the ulama say this is part of the excellent way of preaching by the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. If he said something negative, he brought something positive. If he says alayhi salatu wasalam, don't do this, one of the things he will do alayhi salatu wasalam almost immediately or in another forum is to tell us, now do this, don't do this one, do this one. So when he pointed to the mouth and the private organ as from the things that will easily lead the people into Jahannam, he also said alayhi salatu wasalam, wa aktharu ma yudkhilu al-jannah. Do you also know those things that mostly bring the people to al-jannah? And this is our point of reference. The point of reference in this hadith is this part of the hadith, that أَكْثَرُ مَا يُدْخِلُ الْجَنَّةِ. What mostly brings the people to Al-Jannah? If we want to be from the people of Al-Jannah after Allah has blessed us with Iman, after Allah has blessed us with Tawheed, after Allah has blessed us with Islam, the things we need to run to us, bi-ithnillah, and seek to have is taqwallahi wa husnul khuluq. Taqwallahi wa husnul khuluq. Taqwallahi is the conscious fear of Allah. The individual is regularly, consciously fearful of Allah subhanahu. This is the meaning of at-taqwa, as if to say, if you want to come into al-Jannah, be consciously fearful of Allah. Be regularly, consciously fearful. You have the fear of Allah in you. This fear of Allah in you keeps you away from the things that Allah has prohibited and encourages you upon the things that Allah has ordained, has permitted, has made lawful. You want to stick to Allah's commands because you don't want the punishment of Allah. You want to abstain from the things that He has prohibited because at the same time, you want to earn His favor and avoid His punishment and torment. This is the essence of the word taqwa. At-taqwa is to rightly fulfill the rights of Allah on you, the rights of servitude, the rights of reverence, the rights of worship, the rights of obedience. This is the meaning of at-taqwa. And the second thing we need to pay attention to gain al-jannah out of Allah's mercy is husnul khuluq. Is husnul khuluq, nice character, good behavior. So why has al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, why has he placed this hadith under the chapter that husnul khuluq is more incumbent upon the people of knowledge? The ulama explained that husnul khuluq is so much incumbent upon the people of knowledge because taqwa itself is something that is based on knowledge. We say taqwa is fulfilling the rights of Allah. How do you fulfill the rights of Allah if you are not upon the sound knowledge about the rights of Allah? If you don't have the knowledge of halal, you don't have the knowledge of haram, you don't have the knowledge of makruh regarding every issue that you want to become engaged in, how do you become a person who abstains from makruh and haram? Makruh, things that are disliked, and haram, things that are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are not a person of knowledge, how do you distance yourself from things that Allah has prohibited? If it is not from the aspects of knowledge, how do you become a person who sticks to things that Allah has made obligatory or things that Allah has encouraged the Muslim to do? So knowledge is so, so important regarding at-taqwa. It is almost something to say clearly, it is very difficult to have sound taqwa without good knowledge. It is very, very difficult to have sound taqwa without good knowledge. That's why when a person is now a person of knowledge, he has learned the Quran, he has learned the Sunnah, he has learned the rulings of the Sharia, it becomes more, much more incumbent on him to be a person of taqwa. It's more incumbent on the person of knowledge to become a person of taqwa, since he already knows what Allah loves and commands, and he knows what Allah dislikes and prohibits. So it becomes incumbent upon the person of knowledge to be a person of a taqwa. Likewise, husnul khuluq, nice character. It deserves knowledge to know what really makes nice. Nice character in Islam, and where do you place what people? All of these will come along with good knowledge and sound wisdom. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us that wa aqsaru ma yudkhilul jannah taqwa wa husn al khuluq. What mostly will bring the people into al-jannah is what? Sound taqwa, fearful consciousness of Allah, abstaining from his prohibitions and sticking to his obligations. This is a taqwa. And then what? Husnul khuluq. It means one of the things that frequently will bring the people into al-jannah is sound character. One of the ways to seek al-jannah is to perfect your character. It's not just about salah, making 100 rak'ahs, 500 rak'ahs. It's not just about nawafil of fasting. It's not just about nawafil of sadaqat. All these things are so, so important. One of the most important things also we must pay attention to when bi-iznillah we seek al-jannah is what? Husnul khuluq, nice character. And this is from the wisdom of an individual. Knowledge makes him understand that one major way to seek al-jannah is to have nice character. So when the other person is busy, like the messenger was told, alayhi salatu wasalam, about a woman who was usually busy with Qiyamul Layl. She observed Qiyamul Layl, she was fasting, she gave sadaqah and all of these. But she was very, very bad to her neighbor and she was abusive of anybody. The messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, told us that hiya finnar. It means bad character itself can also bring the people to Jahannam. Yes, the person is praying. He has nawafil. He has sadaqat. He has tatawu'at. He has many things that could lead to al-jannah. But he is failing in his character. He's failing in discharging the rights of the people. He's failing in being honest. He's failing in the aspect that all that he does is to backbite the people and slander them. So these bad characters, because of that, the messenger said regarding that woman who was well known for sound worship, a lot of Qiyamul Layl and all of these, the messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that is about the fire. Because if the individual fails in his character, then he has failed in about a half of his religion. Because a half of the religion has to do with the rights of the people, while the other half has to do with the rights of Allah. We have the hukuk, hukukul ibad, the rights of the servants, the rights of the people, the rights of human beings. We have a duty to fulfill them. And the bulk of issues on husnul khuluq will come under the issues of the rights of human beings. Likewise, we have the rights of Allah. So if a person fulfills the rights of Allah and fails in the rights of the people, it may become a problem for such an individual on the day of Qiyamah. But if a person also, as he fulfills the rights of Allah in his taqwa, he also fulfills the rights of the people. These are from the symbols of the successful ones. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa aktharu ma yudkhilu al-jannah taqwa Allah wa husn al-khuluq. The bulk of what mostly takes the people into al-jannah is taqwa Allah and husn al-khuluq. Being consciously fearful of Allah and husnul khuluq, good character. These two things are so important. But as important as they are, one of the major things that will make them become easy for us is knowledge. And that means also that when a person is knowledgeable, to become a person of taqwa, to become a person of husnul khuluq, nice character, becomes much more incumbent on such an individual. I hope that is clear regarding that hadith. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, asking the people, tadruna ma aktharu ma yudkhilu an-nar, do you know what mostly takes the people into the fire? Qalu, the companions answered and said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lamu, Allah and his messenger know best. And the Prophet answered and said, Al-Ajwafan, those two things with holes, those two hollow things that mostly take the people to the fire. The first one is what? Al-Farj, the private organs. The second one is what? Al-famu, the mouth. Because these two things are usually employed on things that are unlawful. So when you do that, when a person engages in things that are unlawful using these two things, they are from the things that will take many of the people into the fire. May Allah protect us. And the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa aktharu ma yudkhilu al-jannah, and what will mostly take many of the people into al-jannah. May Allah make us from the people of al-jannah. What mostly brings the people to al-jannah is what? Taqwallah. Being consciously fearful of Allah. And then what? Husn al-khuluq. Being a person of what? Nice character. May Allah make us from the people of nice character. I think that suffices on Hadith 289. We can quickly read Hadith 290. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا عبد الله بن محمد قال حدثنا أبو عامر قال حدثنا عبد الجليل بن عطية عن شهر عن أم الدرداء قالت عن أم الدرداء قالت نعم طيب قام أبو الدرداء my نسخة my copy wasn't clear he said قام أبو الدرداء ليلة يصلي قام أبو الدرداء ليلة يصلي فجعل يبكي ويقول اللهم أحسنت خلقي فحسن خلقي حتى أصبح قلت يا أبا الدرداء ما كان دعاؤك منذ الليلة إلا في حسن الخلق فقال يا أم الدرداء إن العبد المسلم يحسن خلقه حتى يدخله حسن الخلق حتى يدخله حسن خلقه الجنة ويسيء خلقه حتى يدخله سوء خلقه النار والعبد المسلم يغفر له وهو نائم قلت يا أبا الدرداء كيف يغفر له وهو نائم قال يقوم أخوه من الليل فيجتهد فيدعو الله عز وجل ويستجيب له ويدعو لأخيه ويستجيب له فيه الإمام البخاري said رحمه الله in حديث 289 in حديث 290 he said حدثنا عبد الله بن محمد عبد الله بن محمد in this reports the Shaykh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari is Abdullah ibn Muhammad Al-Musnadi. Abdullah ibn Muhammad Al-Musnadi. He said, Haddafana Abu Amir. Because of time, we may not be able to comment much about the reporters in this hadith. Otherwise, Abdullah ibn Muhammad Al-Musnadi, the teacher of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in this hadith, was a well-known scholar in his time. So we go on to say, he said, حدثنا أبو عامر أبو عامر in this isnad is أبو عامر العقدي عبد الملك ابن عمر القيسي عبد الملك ابن عمر القيسي he said حدثنا عبد الجليل ابن عطية عبد الجليل ابن عطية is أبو صالح القيسي أبو صالح القيسي he is عبد الجليل ابن عطية And he is reporting from Shahr. Shahr here is Al-Imam Shahr ibn Hawshab. Shahr ibn Hawshab was one of the scholars of Qira'at. He's a well-known scholar of the recitation of the Quran. And the least ruling regarding him is that he is Hassan al-Hadith. His narrations are Hassan. The least ruling you can pick from Al-Imam Shahr Ibn Hawshab, rahimahullah, is that his hadith is Hassan. Even though Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah, has a view that his hadith are da'ifa, he has that opinion in almost all his works. If you go to Silsilatul Sahiha, if you go to Silsilatul Da'ifa, you see Al-Imam Al-Albani, Irwaul Ghalil, and his major works, you see him ruling Shahr Ibn Hawshab to be weak. And based on his verdict on Shahr ibn Hawshab, he has ruled Shar many other ahadith to be weak because of the weakness of Shahr ibn Hawsham. Likewise, that's also the position of Al-Imam al-Nasa'i in the past. Al-Imam al-Albani was not alone in that ruling that Shahr ibn Hawshab is a weak reporter of hadith. Likewise, Al-Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj in the past, one of those to be falsely referred to as Amir al-Mu'minin fil hadith, he also rules Shahr ibn Hawshab as a weak reporter of hadith. But many others amongst the scholars in the earlier times, like Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini, like Al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, like Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Awn, and many others, like Al-Imam Ya'qub ibn Sufyan al-Fasawi, and many others, like Al-Imam Abu Zur'at al-Razi, and our Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. They rule Shahr ibn Hawshab. The least one who gave a ruling regarding Shahr was like the ruling of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, who said that Shahr ibn Hawshab is Hasanul Hadith. And the issues, the criticisms that have been mentioned regarding Shahr ibn Hawshab, Al-Imam al-Zahabi clarified them in his work, Mizan al-I'tidal. Al-Imam al-Zahabi clarified those criticisms against Shahr. He mentioned them in his work, Mizan al-I'tidal. And from those who grade Shahr to be Hasanul Hadith, was Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah. And in our own times, I used to have problems with this ruling since over 20 years ago regarding Shahr ibn Hawshab, when Al-Imam al-Albani ruled rahimahullah that he was weak. But at the time, with one of our teachers, I used to be scared to say it because I had not found any scholar in our own times who said it until I came across Qurratu Ayn al-Muhtaj by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi, which is the commentary on the Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim. He gave an extensive discussion regarding Shahr. Encourage our brothers who are busy with matters like this to go to Qurratu Ayn al-Muhtaj, which is the Sharh of the Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi, rahimahullah. He was extensive regarding Shahr ibn Hawshab. He brought and cited the statements of those who had criticized Shahr ibn Hawshab, and he gave response to each of them one after the other, and gave a conclusion that the least ruling regarding Shahr ibn Hawshab is that he is Hassan al-Hadith, as Al-Imam al-Bukhari and the likes of Abu Zur'a al-Razi have ruled. So I became more confident that my view regarding Shahr ibn Hawshab since a long time was correct after I read the works of the scholar in our time from amongst the people of Hadith, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi, rahimahullah. So Shahr ibn Hawshab is Hassan al-Hadith. And so this Hadith is Hassan al-Aqal and not da'if, as we would have seen from other copies of this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And here, Shahr ibn Hawshab is reporting from al-Darda. Al-Darda here, who is from amongst the teachers of Shahr ibn Hawshab, is al-Darda al-Sugra, because there were two of them. There was al-Darda al-Kubra, who was the first wife of Abu Darda. She passed away, and then Abu Darda married another young lady and still gave her that kunya, al-Darda. So in Islam, amongst the companions, we had al-Darda, and amongst the tabi'un, because the messenger had passed away at that time, we also have al-Darda, but she's usually referred to as what? As Sugra. So we have al-Darda al-Kubra, and we have al-Darda al-Sugra, and they both are from amongst the wives of Abu Darda, Uwaymir ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhum. So one day, al-Darda al-Sugra, al-Darda al-Sugra said, Qama Abu Darda laylatan yusalli. Abu Darda stood up one day in the middle of the night, yusalli, observing the late night prayers. Faja'ala yabki. Abu Darda began to weep, wa yakul. It began to weep and say in his prayers, Allahumma ahsanta khalki. Oh Allah, you have made my look to be perfect. My head, my eyes, my nose, my mouth, my body, my khalq, the way you have created me physically. You made it perfect. Ahsanta khalki. You have made my look to be perfect. Fahassin khuluki. I beg you, make my character perfect. Oh Allah, perfect my character. Abu Darda, an eminent companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, woke up in the midnight and began to weep, begging Allah in his Qiyamul Layl. Oh Allah, ahsanta khalki. You have made my look, my physical appearance to be perfect. Fahassin khuluki. Perfect my character. And he did that hatta asbaha, until it was the time of fajr, until it was dawn, until daybreak. All Abu Darda was begging Allah is husnul khulq. This makes us understand that Abu Darda was from amongst the eminent persons of knowledge and wisdom. Good character cannot just be gained. You have to learn it and work for it. And from amongst the things that you need to do to gain good character is to beg Allah for good character. He began to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humma ahsanta khalki. Oh Allah, you have perfected my physical appearance. Fahassin khuluki. Oh Allah, perfect my character. And he said that atta asbaha. He was saying that until it was daybreak. Let us quickly note from this that one of the ways to acquire good character is by making dua. And that's also from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, he reported with his authentic chain up to Aisha radiallahu anha that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make dua and said, Allahumma ahsanta khalki, ahsin khulki. Allahumma ahsanta khalki fa ahsin khuluki. O Allah, ahsanta khalki. You have perfected and made my physical appearance to be nice. Fa ahsin khuluki. I beg you, make my character nice too. That is from the sunnah of the Prophet too, alayhi salatu wasalam. Almost like the expressions of Abu Darda. Allahumma ahsanta khalki fa ahsin khuluki. Oh Allah, you have made my physical appearance to be nice. فَأَحْسِنْ خُلُكِ. Make my character to be nice. So I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make my character nice, to make your own character to be nice, as was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, I think it requires to be also mentioned that the report that the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, whenever he looked at the mirror and saw himself, he made this dua, that report is weak. So we can make dua, generally speaking, whether at the time of looking at the mirror, you looked at the mirror and saw that Allah has made you beautiful and handsome. Yes, you can say that dua, but it is not restricted to the time of looking at the mirror. It is a general dua that the Messenger was used, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Messenger was used to saying. The Messenger used to beg Allah for nice character, just as he looks nice. Likewise, Abu Darda would wake up in the middle of the night and he will beg Allah, Allahumma ahsanta khalki. Oh Allah, you have perfected my physical appearance. Fahassin khuluki. Perfect my character. Kultu ya Abu Darda. Ummu Darda. Because Ummu Darda was a very, very young girl. Ummu Darda was very young, just like Aisha radiallahu anha. Ummu Darda was so young, radiallahu anha wa rahimahallah. She was a very young person. So if she saw her husband doing that, some elderly women might have ignored that and think that, well, he's just making dua. But for a young, brilliant mind, they are used to asking questions. So Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, was asked by his wife, ma kana du'auka منذ الليلة إلا في حسن الخلق. Wasn't, should your dua since the night till daybreak, should it be for any other thing except, how has it been? Why is it ma kana du'auka منذ الليلة? Your supplication since the night time, it was not for any other thing. إلا في حسن الخلق. If you have not asked Allah for anything except husnul khulq, oh Allah, perfect my character, oh Allah, perfect my character. Why was that? Faqala ya umma darda. Abu Darda, Uwaymir ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, answered his wife. He said, innal abd al muslim, yahsun khulquhu. The servant, the Muslim, yahsun khulquhu. His character would be nice. Hatta yudkhilahu husnu khuluqihi al-jannah. A Muslim will have a nice character, so much so that his nice character will be the means of his being inside al-jannah. Inna al-abd al-muslim yahsunu khuluquhu. The Muslim, the servant, he will perfect, his character will be perfect. His behavior will be nice. His character trait will be sound. Hatta yudkhilahu husnu khuluqihi al-jannah. He will to be like that. And then Allah makes his nice character the means of his entering al-jannah. Wa yasfi'u khuluquhu. Likewise, a person, the Muslim, may have bad character. His character continues to become bad. Hatta yudkhilahu su'u khuluqihi al-jannah. His character will be bad. He will not be a honest person. He will not be a truthful person. He will backbite this one. He will cheat that one. He will backbite the other one. He will misuse what has been placed in his care. He will continue upon all of these. Hatta yudkhilahu su'u khuluqihi an-nar. He will be like that until yudkhilahu su'u khuluqihi an-nar. His bad character will be the reason for his coming into the fire. May Allah protect all of us. This is a point of reference in this hadith. So if a person recognizes that good character will be the means by which he will enter al-Jannah, it will not be too much to wake up in the midnight, as was the practice of Abu Darda. He will wake up in the middle of the night. He will be observing Qiyamul Layl. And he'll be crying to Allah, begging Allah, weeping, radiallahu anhu, begging and praying and saying, Allahumma ahsanta khalki, O Allah, you have perfected my appearance, ahsan khuluki, O Allah, perfect my character. So this is from the aspects of knowledge and wisdom. Allah makes him understand from the knowledge that he has taught him that good character is such so important that it requires that the individual will wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, and all he will be asking Allah for is that Allah should perfect his character, because he understands that good character will be good. The individual will continue to be a honest person, continues to be a truthful person, continue to preserve trust given to him. He continues to relate with the people nicely. He continues to be an open-handed person until Allah makes that the means by which he enters al-Jannah. Allah also, through the knowledge that he taught Abu Darda, he makes him understand that a person's character continues to become so bad until the badness of his character, so to speak, becomes the means for his entering into the fire. And then Abu Darda went on to advise his wife. He said, radiallahu anhu, والعبد المسلم يغفر له وهو نائم. Likewise, the Muslim may be forgiven for his sins وهو نائم, while he sleep. You are sleeping, and then you also gain forgiveness for your sins. Ummu Darda said, Kultu ya Abu Darda. I said, O Abu Darda, kayfa yughfaru lahu wa huwa na'im? How does a person gain forgiveness while he's sleeping? He's sleeping, so how does he become forgiving in his sleep? As you have said that, a person may be sleeping and yet he gains forgiveness. Qala yakumu akhuhu min al-layl. Abu Darda responded to his wife that yakumu akhuhu min al-layl. This Muslim who is sleeping, his brother will wake up in the middle of the night to observe Qiyamul Layl. Fayajtahidu fayad'u Allah. Fayajtahid. This brother of his will make good efforts. Fayad'u Allah. He begins to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fayastajibu lahu. Allah provides him all that he has asked for. Yastajibu lahu. Allah answers his prayer and grants him his request. وَيَدْعُوا لِأَخِيهِ. He also begins to pray for his brother who is asleep. وَيَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ فِيهِ. And Allah answers the prayer of that person who is in Qiyamul Layl. Regarding who? Regarding his brother who is asleep. That is how a Muslim who is asleep may gain forgiveness from Allah. How? From the dua of his brother who is awake while he was asleep. His brother will make dua for him. The point of reference in this hadith is the fact that, number one, it is lawful for us. We are encouraged to make good efforts to perfect our character. And when a person is knowledgeable, knowledge necessitates that the individual makes more efforts to clean up, to perfect his character. And one of such things that the one who is wise and knowledgeable would employ is to stand up in the middle of the night, and as Abu Darda, would earnestly beg Allah for good character. We should beg Allah for good character. And we had mentioned that it is also from the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to make a similar dua. He would say, Allahumma ahsanta khalki. O Allah, you have perfected my appearance. Fa ahsin khuluki. O Allah, perfect my character. We also remember that from Dua al-Istiftah, that the Messenger would say during some of his prayers was to say, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma ahdini li ahsani al-akhlaq, la yahdi li ahsaniha illa an, O Allah, guide me towards nice character. Because no one can guide towards nice character except you. And he would say, alayhi salatu wasalam, wasrif anni, O Allah, take evil character away from me. La yasrifu anni sayyi'aha illa ant. No one has the power to take away evil character from me except you. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he would beg Allah for good character and seek refuge with Allah from evil character. This is also from the aspects of knowledge and wisdom. So the people of knowledge and wisdom, it is more incumbent upon them to be of a nice character, no matter how much effort they need to put in to earning nice character and abstaining from evil character. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kama ahsana khalki, an yuhassina khulki. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he has perfected my physical appearance, it should also perfect my character. And I beg subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that for the rest of us. As he has perfected our appearance, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us nice character. It's important that the Muslim is a person of nice character. And like we had explained during the class, a point to know is that this hadith is Hassan, because Shahr ibn Hawshab is Hassan al-Hadith and not Da'if. So this hadith is sound. It is reliable, bi-ibnillah, because what is correct regarding Shahr ibn Hawshab is the view from those amongst the ulama who hold that Shahr ibn Hawshab is Hassan al-Hadith. And one of them was al-Imam al-Bukhari himself, rahimahullah. So I think it is sufficient for us to stop here. We'll continue from the next hadith in the next class, inshallah. Aba Yusuf.
أبا يوسف بسم الله.
جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخنا.
أمين. أبو عامر. We have read the hadith of Abu Amir today. Abu Amir al-Aqadi. He is the Sheikh of al-Bukhari. And hadith 290, Abu Amir al-Aqadi. His real name is Abdul Malik ibn Amr. You're welcome, Abu Amir. Bismillah.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, sir. May Allah increase you upon goodness. My sister told me yesterday that when she was trying to memorize the Quran, she had a whispering that she should not stress herself, that she is not a good person, that she can't know it. The whispering continued by telling her to give her teacher an excuse for not memorizing the Quran. It tells her to close the Quran and sleep, that she can't know it, which she later did. What can she do to stop this, sir? Jazakum Allahu khair.
I mean, those are from the wasawis, from the evil whisperings, clearly of shaitan. Shaitan has evil whisperings like this when people are upon goodness. He can go to them and whisper a lot of things. He can even whisper to them that by your memorizing the Quran, he can encourage you to memorize the Quran, but don't forget, as you are memorizing the Quran, there is nobody like you. He begins to tell you things to make you feel arrogant. And when you begin to feel arrogant regarding an act of worship, you lose the rewards. Just like he can come to someone who is benevolent. He is providing, he's spending for people, he's helping the cause of people and the cause of goodness. Shaitan can come to him and say, oh, you are doing this. Don't you see that you're a benevolent person? And he begins to praise that person in a manner that the person begins to now do those things to gain no other than praise and show off by way of destroying the deed. So sometimes Shaitan can try to disconnect the people from the deed itself. He can say that. You can hear the voice as a voice, as you hear my voice. Shaitan has the ability. You can hear the voice. And he can also feel it inside you, like as if that idea is from you, but it is not from you, it is from Shaitan. Shaitan can encourage you. And Allah told us about something similar to that. He can even encourage the people to leave Islam and come upon kufr. Allah told us that in the Quran, كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ اكْفُرْ. Just like Shaitan, when he whispers to the people and says to them, become disbelievers. Become disbelievers. Disbelieve. Leave Islam. So Shaitan can say all that. How many times have people explained that they saw Jesus Christ coming to tell them that they should accept Jesus Christ? Shaitan can come in different forms. And Imam Abu Hanifa in his time, Rahimahullah and Nu'man ibn Thabit, he, Rahimahullah, was observing Qiyamul Layl. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned this story in his work, Al-Furqan, Bain Awliya al-Rahman wa Awliya al-Shaytan. This story of Abu Hanifa, and Shaitan appeared to him, and in one of these he was telling Abu Hanifa rahimahullah that there is nobody like you, praising him and telling him things of kufr, that if the Imam had assented to them, it would have meant that his deeds were destroyed. And the Imam quickly realized that this is Shaitan. So Shaitan, when we do good deeds, he doesn't like it. He wants to either stop us from those deeds, or that when we already do them, he wants us to do something that will destroy the rewards of those deeds. So don't turn to that whispering. In fact, when it comes, make a lot of isti'aza. Start saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Start struggling with yourself to continue upon that good deed. Don't stop. When we were in the university in some 20-something years ago, I still remember this story very well because I still saw the husband of that sister recently in Mecca. That sister was in medicine. She's a big, big, big learned medical doctor now abroad. Whenever she was studying, a hand emerged from the walls trying to touch her. Can you imagine this? someone is studying and a hand emerges from the wall, from the walls to touch her. So she would avoid the hand. No face, no head, no leg, just the hand. And she became disturbed. She used to have headache and all of this. We used to make a lot of rukia and encourage her and all of this. So one day she decided to hurt that hand. So when the hand emerged, she removed her shoes and began to beat the hand and recite Ayatul Kursi as she did that. And it disappeared from her. It disappeared and never appeared to her. I still have asked her husband recently when we met in Makkah. I asked the husband about this woman. So the point here is that Shaitan has many ways to dissuade people from something good that they are engaged in. Different ways. So don't pay attention to that old woman when you memorize and learn the Quran. Don't pay attention to those evil whisperings of Shaitan. You should increase in istiada, make a lot of istiada, make a lot of adhkar, continue to read the Quran, and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away this evil destruction of Shaitan from you. We beg Allah to protect each and every one of us from the evil destructions of Shaitan. Is it clear, Abu Amir?
The next question here reads, please, if I teach in a government school and there is drumming and assembly every day, and I have roles on the assembly too, like taking register of my class, how do I avoid the gathering of the drumming? Does that come out?
Naam.
If I teach in a government school,
Naam.
And there is drumming on assembly
drumming.
Every day.
Naam.
And I have roles on the assembly, like taking Naam. Register as well. How do I avoid the gathering of the drumming? Jazakumullah.
I mean, you can negotiate these issues. You can negotiate. You can start with negotiating, educating the people about leaving drumming aside. Yes, it's a government school, but if they listen to you, the principal can choose that they set aside drums. We all went to public schools too. When we were in public schools, in primary school, secondary school in those days, there were no drums, early 80s. There were no drums. In my own school, in fact, in a Christian environment, we went to school in the South, primary and secondary, early 80s. No drums. So you can negotiate. I'm saying that it is possible that, yes, it's a government school. It's possible that they still do not drum. So you can start with that. Study the rulings of drumming in Islam so that it will help you be fortified, because it's always good to base your discourses upon knowledge. So fortify yourself first. And then approach the authorities concerned and the teachers concerned. So you can start with that they should stop the drumming. And what does drumming do? So you can start with that. And some of these people may be Muslims. So the least thing you gain from starting with the discussion like this is that you win more Muslims to yourself rather than lose them. When you educate people, you win them. You convince them rather than making it a fight and a quarrel. So you start with that. You win more people to your side regarding the matter. And at the end of the day, even if they reject and insist that there should be drumming, you may be excused from coming to the assembly and going to take the register, perhaps in the classrooms. That's also possible because you may not be able to take the register for everybody. So you go to the classroom where you are designated to take the attendance of the students. You may be excused because they would have understood your concern. So if all of that is impossible, then you ignore the sound. It was one of those things we also did when we were younger than this, ignoring that there's a sound around. You become used to ignoring the sound as if you didn't even hear it at all. So ignore the sound and do what you need to do. But start from the upper end as we have advised. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you success in that. I hope that response is clear, Abu Amr.
Naam, Shaykh. Naam. People ask him concerning the name of one of the narrators, Abdul Jalil.
Abdul Jalil. There are two of them among the reporters of Hadith who bear this name, Abdul Jalil. But it is not from one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They might have taken it upon ijtihad from some verses of the Quran or a hadith to think that it is lawful. But upon research into the statements of the scholar regarding this name Abdul Jalil, it is not from Al Jalil, is not mentioned from among the names that the scholars have studied the Quran and mentioned from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al Jalil, because we are prohibited from giving Allah names that He has not named Himself. That's why it is important. Someone can come up and say, what's important about saying Abdul Jalil? What's important about not saying Abdul Jalil is that Al Jalil, there is no clear-cut evidence to say that it is from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are prohibited from giving Allah names that He has not given Himself. He alone has the right to give Himself names, and He alone has the right to tell us what are His attributes. So if it is not from the names that He has told us clearly in the Quran, or that His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had told us about, then we will not accept it to be from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until we find evidence for it. So don't say Abdul Jalil. Don't say Abdul Jalil. I hope the matter is clear, inshallah.
Concerning the hadith, was asking that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, can we understand the holy part referring to the mouth to also comprise our fingers in our time, where a lot of communication is done by typing?
Yeah, it is from the aspect of it. It is connected to it. When a man employs his hands typing messages and sending messages of evil to a woman, or to a man, as the case may be, the hand is involved. And that's what is referred to as zina al-yad too, from the zina of the hand. From the zina of the hand, whatever leads to zina, the limb that is employed to do that is generally mentioned by the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to be participating in zina, just like the feet walks there. So if the hand is employed to negotiate and discuss it, then what that person does is also considered from the aspects of the zina of the hands. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Can we take one more question? There are questions on the dua. One of the brothers asks, how would the character of Abu Darda, do we have a report of how his character was after he was making the dua? It was not a dua to make and stop, like saying that I have now achieved sound character. Because from the aspects of righteousness and piety is that there is no stopping it. You have to continue upon it until you meet Allah. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. So you continue upon sound character. So it was not something to do and stop. It was not something he did one day and stopped. It was something he did many times. Just like we find in Dua al-Istiftah by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was not known to have stopped that Dua. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, when he started Salah after Takbiratul Ihram, you know that Dua we make, Allahumma ahdini li ahsani al-akhlaq. The Messenger did this till he passed away. He did not did it and stop. He did not do it and then stop. So it's not something to do and stop and say, okay, let me check now. If I now have good character, I will stop. If I have bad character, I will continue. No, continue. Continue. Because if today you see after investigation that I think my character is good, how about tomorrow? Has Shaitan left you aside? So it's something to continue to do, so as to be upon it, to remain upon it, and become from those who become taken away by death while we're upon goodness, inshallah. Abu Amir, is this clear to
you? Ma'am, yes,
and we stop here today, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, yes. Assalamu
alaikum. I will continue the class tomorrow. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa rahmatullahi.